A recent poll shows President Trump's approval rating at 36%, matching his all-time low. 60% in that poll disapprove of his job performance in that survey, an all-time high. With numbers like that, you might think political candidates would keep their distance from Trump, but in 37 Republican primary elections this year, candidates with Trump's backing won 35 times. For the November midterms, Trump has thrown his support behind Leah Vukmir for U.S. Senate, Brian Stile in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District, and Governor Walker. But will his endorsement help carry those candidates to victories? Mordecai Lee is a professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee, former state lawmaker. Mordecai, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for inviting me, Rob.
Well, it seems like there's two stories here, Mordecai: President Trump and Republican primaries, and President Trump and general elections. Let's start with those primaries. How would you describe the Trump effect when he picks from among Republican candidates?
Rob, you've zeroed in on it. Here we are in the first minute of the conversation, and that's exactly the point, that he's very influential with the Republican base. In other words, in primaries. The question is if his endorsements are influential in the general election. And that, based on Wisconsin history, I guess you'd say it all depends.
Well, we have some data to go on with the primaries, not so much for President Trump and the general elections. So let's set those generals aside. I mean, President Trump at 35 of 37, he's got a pretty strong winning streak. He's in some cases helped candidates come from, you know, not out of nowhere, but out of, you know, way back there somewhere and win in primaries.
It's incredibly impressive in terms of his political magnetism that, in other words, the base of the hardcore Republican voters have become Trump voters. They don't view themselves as part of a conservative establishment, but as sort of Trumpists. And so if he gives a signal, sometimes less than 24 hours before the primary, it's just an incredibly impressive performance how he influences the vote. He essentially is able to turn someone from a second-place finisher to a first-place finisher. And in politics, one rarely sees such powerful endorsement.
And that seems to have an effect even when the president doesn't pick a candidate. Looking at the race here in Wisconsin, the primary race for U.S. Senate, you had Leah Vukmir and Kevin Nicholson. They both definitely tried to portray themselves as a pro-Trump, a strong Trump supporter if they ended up in the U.S. Senate.
That's exactly it, Rob. In other words, they weren't letting any daylight come between them and Trump, no matter what they had said or done a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I mean, he's really conquered the party, and he's really shown the establishment of the party that if they criticize him at all, he'll endorse somebody else, and that somebody else will win. In politics, politics is about winning elections, and Mr. Trump has just got a magic sauce.
I want to look at a recent race, the Republican primary for governor in Florida. He had a state agriculture commissioner, Adam Putnam. He had a lead. He was the establishment candidate. Then President Trump endorses Congressman Ron DeSantis. He's a congressman, not a nobody by any means. He surged after that, wound up winning handily in that race. Is that all Trump, basically?
I really think it is. We've got to consider sort of who the Trump voters are. In part, these are the regular Republican conservatives who have come to love him because he won an election for president that everybody thought he was going to lose. So he's a winner. They love him. They love how he thumbs his nose at the establishment. But he's also appealed to another layer of Republican voters that sometimes don't vote, and those are people with only high school education. Based on political science research, turnout, in other words, the propensity to vote, goes up with education. In other words, turnout goes down if you're only a high school graduate. But the Trump phenomenon has really transcended that generalization. And so we've got these unlikely voters turning out to vote.
Talking to Mordecai Lee from UW-Milwaukee about the Trump effect in November election. So let's turn now, Mordecai, to the big question mark here. President Trump going like gangbusters and helping Republican candidates win primaries. Based on polling, approval, disapproval, what we know about President Trump, what happens in November?
Gosh, if you and I had the answer to it, we could really make $1 million. Because I think there are a couple of variables going on that sort of cancel each other out. Generally speaking, in the off-year election, the non-presidential election, Republicans do better than Democrats. In fact, if you think about the governor's races, since 1986, when Tommy Thompson defeated Governor Tony Earle, there have been 8 gubernatorial elections, and Democrats have won only 2 of them. Republicans have won 6 of them. That tells us that midterm elections skew Republican. Why? Well, they're not presidential elections. They're not as sexy. There's a layer of voters who only turn out to vote for that, the sexiest of all elections, the sort of Olympics of elections, which is the presidential election. So it skews Republicans, presumably because we're talking about people with above-average education, above-average income, or above-average age. But on the other hand, things have been changing. Younger people have been turning out to vote in presidential elections. There's the seeming blue wave that's occurring in Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin is a 50-50 state if we're making predictions about November. Gosh, for all we know, it's going to depend on some little old lady who lives off the grid up in northern Wisconsin, because everybody in Wisconsin has an opinion about Governor Walker and about President Trump.
Now, Vice President Mike Pence was in Milwaukee last week to campaign for Leah Vukmir in her challenge against Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. Pence was asked how often he and Trump would be visiting us here in Wisconsin in the weeks ahead. Here's a listen.
I promise you that President Trump and I will be here campaigning for Governor Walker and for Leah Vukmir every bit as much as they need us here, because these are two outstanding leaders.
The big question is for President Trump visiting in particular, how much does he excite Republican voters to vote for his candidates? How much does he excite Democratic voters to vote against them?
I think that's the crucial question. In other words, he would excite the Republican base. He would tell them to turn out. He'd tell them to hit the phones. He'd tell them to hit the doors. But at the same time, it would have a stimulating effect on people who don't like him. Generally speaking, the Republican conventional wisdom going into the fall elections is that it's better to have Trump than to not have him. But Governor Walker is such a fabulous politician, whether one likes him or not politically or ideologically, that Governor Walker is trying to get the benefit of a Trump endorsement or a Trump appearance at a rally, at the same time not turning off that layer of Republican voters who are really turned off by Trump. And the stereotype of those voters generally are women, generally college graduates, sometimes homemakers. They're generally conservative on values, generally conservative on tax and economics, but they're generally left of center on values. So who knows? Waukesha County might turn out to be, instead of the sort of winning field for Republicans, might be the battlefield for Republicans.
Right. Wisconsin was one of, at least in the primaries, was one of the last never Trump holdouts. A lot of establishment Republicans tried to rally for Ted Cruz in the state. They didn't really embrace Trump until after he'd won the nomination. Does that matter anymore?
Leah Vukmir had not been a big supporter of President Trump until he got the nomination, and yet she was able to persuade the voters that she is currently loyal to Trump, was after he got the nomination, and would be if she was elected to the Senate. That seems to be what the voters care about. If you look at the map of those primary results, the Nicholson-Vukmir primary, she did very well in sort of the heartland of Republican establishment, which is sort of Waukesha County and the sort of southeast Wisconsin. And he did well in sort of that arc of rural Wisconsin, outstate Wisconsin, that is very much more Trump country. So it's really an unknown if the Trump voters who maybe only vote in presidential elections will turn out in a gubernatorial election.
Looking at a state like Virginia, where Democrats had a big win in their state legislative elections, people there say, hey, the Democrats weren't talking about Donald Trump. They were talking about traffic and roads and things like that. I guess thinking people already know what they think about Donald Trump one way or the other. Does that have a lesson for Wisconsin Democrats in what they talk about, what their strategy is?
I think there's a lesson there, but I'm not sure what the lesson is. Yes, they tried to avoid talking about Trump, and yes, they did very well in the election. But it looks like the fall election is going to be more of a referendum on Trump than generally speaking has been. I've been following Wisconsin politics since I was an undergrad at Madison in the 1960s. And generally speaking, going into a gubernatorial election, everybody says it's going to be a referendum on whatever president or party controls the White House. And generally speaking, in the past, the results of the elections have not been a referendum on the president. But I'm starting to wonder if maybe this November in Wisconsin, it will be a referendum on the president, which is sort of good news for Republicans and bad news for Republicans.
We're talking about the Trump effect on midterm elections just over 2 months away. Mordecai Lee is with us, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee, former state lawmaker. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of President Trump's influence on elections, both in Republican primaries so far and then looking ahead to November? Is he going to rally more Republicans to vote for his candidates or Democrats to vote against them? Are you more or less likely to vote for a candidate who has President Trump's backing? If you're a Republican voter, do you see the president as an asset or a liability in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We continue our discussion about President Trump and the influence of his endorsement in the coming midterms. Mordecai Lee is our guest, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think President Trump will have a big effect on elections this fall? What is the word in your part of the state? What are you hearing from people who voted for President Trump, against him? How do they feel now about November's elections? If you're a Republican, do you want more President Trump in the state campaigning? If you're a Democrat, do you think it helps you to have more President Trump in the state too? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go to your calls now. Willem is on the line in Colfax. Willem, hi.
Hi. I live in that area that the national media and your guest call this wide swath of Wisconsin, which is Trump country. But I'd like to remind the professor that Donald Trump won by 21,000 votes in this state, the village that I live in. He didn't win in the village of Colfax. He barely won in the town of Colfax. I have many neighbors who are traditional Republicans who are frankly offended by the president's behavior, his lack of any kind of moral center. So I think to just write all the people in western Wisconsin off as Trump supporters is really missing the mark by a long shot.
Willem, thanks for that call. And Mordecai, we've seen big swings in rural parts of western Wisconsin. Some of the biggest swings from Obama votes to Trump votes, they could very well be, as Willem is suggesting, up in the air.
Well, I'm glad Willem called, because he's really reminded us that when we talk about elections and we pundit the future, we're engaging in very broad generalizations. And so his example is perfect. He lives in that sort of Trump arc of outstate Wisconsin, but he personally, and in terms of people he knows and the township where he lives, are not Trump supporters. So when we're making these generalizations, we're talking about sort of the majority, just the tip that changes the balance of an election. And certainly, he won Wisconsin just by a hair, but it's also true that Democratic candidates in presidential elections won Wisconsin by a hair. You can go back to George W. Bush running for re-election. They thought they could win Wisconsin, and they just barely lost it. So it's fair to say that Wisconsin truly is a 50-50 state.
Willem, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Mordecai, you talked about how you have this long view. You've been watching Wisconsin politics for a long time. I hate to say things are unprecedented, but do you have a lot to compare the phenomenon of Donald Trump to in that span of time?
I can't think of any politician who's been as impressive politically, whether you like him or not, but impressive politically in terms of endorsements as President Trump. The generalization about endorsements in Wisconsin politics is that endorsements aren't very important. They rarely tip an election. Whether we're talking about AFL-CIO on the left, whether we're talking about Republicans on the right being endorsed by a prominent person, endorsements just don't seem to carry. In fact, endorsements are something to talk about leading up to an election before you know the election results. But I think President Trump has really sort of broken the mold, really created a new precedent that he is very influential with people following his lead. And so, as we talked about at the top of the hour, Rob, he's been incredibly influential in primaries. He may or may not be in general elections.
Now, looking at the polls, for what they're worth, the people who track polls, President Trump has been, 41% approval ratings on average in a lot of polls. We've seen a couple pretty substantial polls in the last week or so, showing him down into the mid-30s. It's early. Who knows if that trend holds? Is there a point where Republicans running for office, running for Congress, running for governor, say, this has hit a point, we're seeing maybe Republican support erode, as a couple of these polls suggested. Is there a point where Republicans say, maybe I need to keep him a little more at arm's length?
Well, if anybody can do it, it would be Scott Walker. He has a fabulous fingertip feel for politics and for the public mood and public opinion. And so we can watch his behavior over the next 6 or 7 weeks, and we'll be able to answer your question. We'll be able to see how close he wants to hug President Trump, or how sort of occasionally he wants Trump to help him. You know, President Trump and Scott Walker, in terms of politics, are similar in only one respect, I would say, and that's that they never have high approval ratings. In other words, they're never 55, 60, 65, 70. They're always sort of in the mid-40s. And yet Scott Walker has shown that even though he's a figure with not a majority of approval rating or favorable ratings, that he's able to win elections. And so in that respect, there's a similarity here that the Trump supporters are not going to walk away from him.
Talking to Mordecai Lee from UW-Milwaukee, looking at the potential impact of President Donald Trump on elections here in Wisconsin and around the country. And Mordecai, let's look a little bit at the race for control of Congress, the House in particular. Democratic or generic ballots showing preferences for Democrats. They need a pretty big win overall to retake the House. What are you watching for there?
Well, I think we should watch in Wisconsin, because these generalizations about Congress aren't particularly helpful, as Willem reminded us. But if we look at the seat that Paul Ryan is giving up, it's a relatively Republican seat, but now the question is it in play because of President Trump and because of the blue wave? Similarly, is Glenn Grossman's district, which is quite a Republican district, is it now in play because of these external circumstances? I'm reluctant to predict that this is going to be an unprecedented election, but I can say that it sure feels unprecedented. Now, the likeliest scenario is that Republican-leaning congressional districts in Wisconsin will continue to be Republican-leaning. But these two districts that I'm mentioning, gosh, who knows?
Right. People have pointed towards swings in special elections where even if the Republican won, they won by a lot less than historically Republicans in that district had won. You know, swings of 10-15% in a lot of cases. If that happens here in Wisconsin, does that mean a typically safe seat is not safe anymore?
Rob, I'm really glad that you're focusing on the record of special elections. You know, earlier when we talked about what are the factors that indicate a propensity to vote, some of the things I mentioned were education and income. So in a special election, that propensity to vote really controls. In other words, who votes in the middle of, you know, fill in the blank, in the middle of May? Well, it's people with higher than average education, higher than average age and income. And so the turnout in a special election might skew Democratic because of the issue of education and income. But I'm not sure that it'll be quite as influential when we come to a general election in November.
So looking at possible outcomes, one thing that could happen is we end up with split control of Congress. The Democrats take the House, say, but they've got a tough map in the Senate. What do you look for from a divided government then?
Well, presumably divided government gives us exactly what James Madison, after all, we named our state capital after him, what James Madison sort of wanted from the federal government. They wanted something stronger than the Confederation, which preceded the Constitution. They wanted a government that could work. But on the other hand, they didn't want a government that would be subject to the whims of public opinion. They wanted a government that would check and balance each branch. So I suspect that what we're going to be seeing, if there's divided government, we're either going to see just a dysfunction, a shutdown of the government, when happens sometimes when President Obama is a Democrat and there was a Republican Senate and Congress, or we're finally going to see a kind of a natural political dynamic towards compromise. Half a loaf is better than none. I would love to see that mentality return both to Wisconsin politics and federal politics.
One of the biggest things here in Wisconsin we haven't talked about yet is the race for the state legislature. The Senate may be in play. The Assembly maybe would be tougher odds for Democrats. How do these elections play out? Because no offense, I know you're a state legislator. People aren't necessarily really researching and digging into the candidate who's running for that race when there's big items like governor and Senate on the ballot.
Right. In other words, it's the degree of sexiness. Or sometimes when we talk about movies, we talk about a marquee name or a marquee race. You're absolutely right, Rob, that the Senate race in Wisconsin and the gubernatorial race is going to draw voters. But when you're dealing with, let's say, a state assembly race, it's 1% of Wisconsin population. Then you've got things like a friends and neighbors effect. Oh, I know so-and-so. I went to high school with so-and-so, and they said this person is a good person, is a good candidate. That starts being influential. So it's true that the number of people voting decreases as you go down the ballot. But these sort of peculiar local circumstances become stronger and stronger.
Now, Mordecai, I know you try to be cautious in your predictions, but every now and then you hit us with a bold, out-there prediction, sometimes a little cryptic. Do you have anything that's just really bubbling under the surface there that you're watching for that we should be watching for, too?
Okay, I'll make a prediction. It's nonpartisan. I'm going to predict that just like we had the turnout in the primary in August, which was really just above average, it was just an incredible flood of voters. I'm going to predict that the November election has a huge turnout, much higher than average, almost starting to look like a presidential race. And if that is true, then that means that the mix of voters totally changes.
All right, we'll watch for that over-under. Mordecai, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Mordecai Lee, professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee, former state lawmaker. We talked with him about the Trump effect heading into the November midterms in Wisconsin and around the country.